powerful gathering of freedom fundamentalists since 1776. Mojo 50.
The light at the end of the tunnel, that beacon of common sense you see up ahead. The Liberty Lighthouse with Peter Serafin is on now.
Hello, my fellow patriots and freedom fighters. Welcome to Liberty Lighthouse. I'm Peter Serafin, the host and wiki of Liberty Lighthouse, a beacon of common sense. Heard on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, WBN 324, the World Broadcast Network, and the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Tonight, I'm supposed to have a guest with us. His name is Jeff. Jeff Bernant. He is, he's creating some new tools for us, for we, the conservatives, for we that lean to the right side of the political aisle. He's creating, hopefully. We'll just let him talk about it, but some really cool web tools for us and something that we can all use. So with that, let's just finish up the intro.
A man, a legend,
with a great beard,
with the greatest beard in radio.
This guy is the sweetest, nicest, most gentlest person you've ever met in your life.
The man's really insightful and pretty freaking smart.
With wit, sharp like safety scissors.
I would walk over hot coals for this guy.
Man with a golden voice behind the microphone.
He's got a big, fat, juicy, beautiful brain.
The Nostradamus of political prognostication. Your host, Peter Serafin.
Hey, no matter where you're watching or listening to Liberty Lighthouse from, please take a moment to share it out on the social media networks. Let everybody know that you're in the Liberty Lighthouse with me. Don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, share, rate, review, all of those things wherever you find the show. And you can contact the show by visiting liberty-lighthouse.com. Click that chat button or email libertylighthouse1776@gmail.com. And my favorite way is for you to call or text 64 My Rights. That's 646-974-4487. And my guest isn't here. Hopefully he's just running late and he'll join us. But I'm going to start talking about what he was going to tell us about, what he was going to share. It's called Tusk, the Tusk browser, T-U-S-K, T-U-S-K. So what Jeff is building is a browser, a web browser like Chrome or Firefox or Internet Explorer or whatever you're using now. And he's building one for those that lean to the right. And with this browser, and I've downloaded it onto my phone. I just downloaded it onto my laptop. I haven't done anything on my laptop yet. And I looked around a little bit in my from my phone. And with this browser comes a news aggregate service. So a lot of places have tell what type of news you want to hear. Like, hey, I'm interested in sports or politics or whatever. The Tusk browser allows you to choose what sources that you want to get your news from. So you can say, I do or don't want to get news from Newsmax or the Epoch Times or whatever. You can pick and choose where your news comes from. And there, sounds like he's joining us. Hang on. Mr. Bernant, welcome to Liberty Lighthouse. I was just telling the audience that you're building a web browser, a news aggregate service, and I hadn't got to the third, what I think is the coolest thing yet. But before we go there, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Peter. You know, I've had COVID. So I have been totally out of it. And I looked at my schedule. I was thinking, I'm going to go to my office and do some work because nobody went in my office wants me, right? And it's like, okay, when everybody leaves, I can then go. And I feel fine, but I'm still contagious. So I'm not welcomed at home. I'm in a hotel. I totally forgot about the meeting. I apologize so much, but I am now all yours for the next hour. Let me see if I can get rid of some of that light that is blasting away on me.
Much better. And I got your, if for those watching in video form, I've got the your name and tuskbrowser.com on the screen. And, you know, I really don't pay a whole lot of attention to the video part. I got to tell you, Liberty Lighthouse is primarily a radio show. Yeah. The only reason I do the video is there are people like my beautiful wife who will not listen to talk radio, will not listen to a podcast, but she will sit and watch a 3-hour long video of somebody recording a podcast. So I do video just for people like her, basically.
So it sounds great. And I'm happy to be, if I'm the only person on and she's looking at me, that's totally fine with me as well. There is absolutely no, where are you guys out of? And I love the American flag in the background. That is super
Thank
special.
You very much. I live in Belfont, Pennsylvania, a little tiny town right smack in the center of Pennsylvania.
Is this like the Poconos?
The Poconos is like 2 hours away. I'm 2 hours away from anything you've ever heard of, except maybe Penn State University.
Well, Scranton. How about Scranton?
Probably about 2 hours.
Penn State.
I'm telling you, Penn State is an hour away, or is eight miles away. Pittsburgh is 3 hours. Philly is 4 hours. Harrisburg is almost 2 hours. Anything you've heard of, if you look at a map of Pennsylvania and you attempt to put your finger in the geographic center of the state, you probably have your finger on Bellefonte.
Gotcha. Well, you know, I'll say middle America is where it's kind of an interesting, you know, route I've taken, but I love middle America. I think the coastlines they've lost their minds. That's all I can say.
I agree. Hey, before we go on, you're an IT professional now.
Yeah.
But you haven't always been an IT professional. You were in real estate.
That's right.
Seems like a strange jump to make. How did that happen?
Kind of bizarre. You're right. I'm one of these people that it's never ending. Like, how can I do it better? I started building office buildings, and I was always trending way before anybody else. Like, for instance, in my office parks, I put in, you know, like sports courts and all types of great stuff, ping pong tables. Stuff you see today, gyms you see today, but 20 years ago or 25 years ago, that was kind of like, wow, why would he do that? And so I've always been one of those inquisitive minds, and I really like tech. I like tech a lot better than I like building buildings. Building buildings is a lot easier. If you're not in Santa Barbara, in the hardest place in the country to develop a property. Other than that, it's a lot easier. But I got in the tech. And it's kind of a funny story. My son and I were driving back from his college, and we were just making stuff up. Like, well, what if I could have a voice that said, turn right here, you idiot. And I replaced the word with idiot, something else. And he said, well, hey, Dad, I'm not sure you can make any money doing that. And I thought, well, he's probably right. But then I started realizing the web was crazy, and that everything you did, someone was following you, tracking you, viruses. And I thought, well, maybe I should step in here. I don't like what I'm seeing. Not a good idea, by the way. But I did. I jumped in, and I built my first browser with the help of a guy named Brian Fox, who's pretty well known. He just finished building a VPN called Orchid that they launched, and it's peer-to-peer. Don't know how it's doing. So he and I started the first browser that we built, which was called Cocoon, and it was a great browser. I mean, it could have rivaled DuckDuckGo or any of the others. The problem is we couldn't figure out how to make any money, and so it was just kind of sitting on the shelf.
I looked into that, and the idea of Cocoon was that you as the user could profit from the data mining, from your own personal data, right?
Well, no, the first, well, we've morphed that. So, you know, the game is you pivot. So the first Cocoon was totally a stealth browser. I mean, you want to talk about privacy. It had a VP, it had an IP, you know, protected your IP address so no one could see you were. It stored all of your information in the cloud, so your history, your cookies. And it's kind of cool. The only way you could get in was brute force. I mean, your own password, I couldn't get in without brute force. And what was cool about it was very isolated, and it was very anonymous. The problem was I hadn't figured out what DuckDuckGo had figured out, which was build a search engine or have a search engine. So I had a browser that was super stealth, but no one would advertise with us. And I'll give you a clue about DuckDuckGo. If you don't see an IP address, it's hard for them to make money.
Right.
For all their privacy that they tell you about, you know, there's some stuff going on in the background that you should be aware of that it's, I mean, still getting people getting their IP addresses is not the end of the world. But when people tell you it's super private, unless you got a VPN running, and even then some, you got to be a little careful.
Well, that's the thing. Like all these places that say there are a lot of sources out there, a lot of social media, a lot of browsers, a lot of things on the market that claim to be private. But if they're free, if they're free to use,
free means you're the product.
Right, right. That's what I've heard. If something is free, then you're the product. You're the thing. You're the sucker. So
you know you look old enough to remember the Twilight Zone, where the aliens come down and they convince everybody to get in the spaceship, and then at the end it turns out that they translate the spaceship and it's a cookbook, and they're going to cook human beings up there, right? So how to serve man? I remember
that. Yeah, how to serve man? That's
today's internet.
It is. So we've all figured that out with Facebook. We all know that Facebook and Twitter are making all of their money by selling our private information. And then you've got these new ones that come along that claim to be more private. And you've got, you know, Getter and Parler. And I don't, there's so freaking many of them now. I can't keep track. Every morning I do a 1 minute news headline review called the Liberty Minute. And I sit down here in my studio, I record it, and then I go to post it on social media. And I can't remember all of my places. I've got to look on my phone at the apps and go, yeah, did I do that one? Did I do that one? Did I do that one? Because there's so many of them.
Yeah, it replicates itself. The interesting part, and this is where I felt that we could help, was that there is no browser that served the conservative movement, nor is there a search engine, which got me pretty hot under the collar and really want to build something that would be exactly that. And it just doesn't exist. I mean, people will tell me, well, I had one guy say just recently at CPAC, oh, well, I use Brave, and Brave gives you conservative news. I said, okay, put in January 6th and let's see what Brave gives you as far as, and then he's looking at MSNBC. You know, it was a bunch of stuff that obviously was not suited for conservatives, very liberal. And I said, I rest my case. It doesn't exist. We're going to have to build it.
Well, when Rumble came out, I was thrilled because I've gotten strikes on YouTube. I can't get anywhere. I mean, I do those Liberty Minutes and I put them on TikTok and I get, you know, 6,000 views in a day. I put it on YouTube. I get 4. Yeah. Not 4,000, 4.
4, yeah.
And, you know, and so when Rumble came out, I was thrilled. And I'm like, all right, let's do Rumble. And then I would go just for fun. I went to Google and I searched Liberty Minute on Rumble. And I couldn't find it. It didn't show up. I did everything except give it the exact address. And they wouldn't show up.
Yeah. Yeah. This is going to be a challenge. There's no doubt. I really would like to. I'm doing the exploratory now. We have a deal with Yahoo, and we've gone over some of the rules, and I think we've ironed some things out. We can start with that, but really the ultimate goal is build our own search engine, because no matter if you use MSN as your own, Microsoft as your underlying search engine, Google, Yahoo, they're all got a liberal spin. None of them have a conservative spin. You're not going to find Daily Wire until you're on page 12 or whatever. I mean, so you might as well, not even look, because you're not going to find it easily.
Yeah, I find that all the time when I've got, for example, a specific quote in my head of a founding father or former president or something, and I'll search for the part of the quote that I remember and looking for it. And if it's something that leans conservative, it's pages down before I can find it. Yeah. One of the ones I had a really hard time finding recently was a Milton Friedman quote about the cause of inflation. And I knew exactly what it was in my head, but it took me forever to find a video or audio file that I could use on the show.
It's tough.
What you're building is in three parts. You're building a web browser, a news aggregate, and a search engine. I don't know how to say this politely, so if this is offensive, I apologize in advance. Do you have any fear of becoming or creating a right-wing echo chamber? If we all get to go in there and say, well, I want Daily Wire and Epoch Times and New York Post. I don't want the New York Times. If we have the ability to pick and choose like that, are we going to create a right-wing version of what the rest of the world is to the left?
Yeah, it's a great question. Yes and no. Now, with us, I would say no, because you can go in at any time and with us, and you can switch it up. If you want to have right now today, if you go into we make you do a little work, but if you go into the Tusk browser today, you could say, I want my news feed to be liberal. And all you need to go in is click off a bunch of the liberal, Los Angeles Times, New York Times, and you'll get their news feeds. And so I truly believe in freedom of speech. The problem is there's so much of that out there and so little bit of our side or the conservative side, that we want that to dominate. But if you want to look over and see what the other side's saying so you don't end up in an echo chamber, I'm great with that. I think, when I was in school, we always looked at both sides of the issue. It's only recently where we don't look at the issues anymore. We just, it's just like you're either left or you're right, and you don't engage. And if you can, now I'm learning sometimes it's just impossible to engage with people who maybe have a Marxist theory and, they're not going to take no for an answer.
I get it all the time. I'm trying to have an intelligent conversation with somebody who is so staunchly the other side that they refuse to see or even listen to anything that opposes their opinion. Had a conversation just a couple of days ago. A person came out with why can't the United States have government health care like the rest of the world? The whole world has figured it out except us. And anytime I would bring up even the tiniest little thing, they were like, and they just didn't even want to hear it. Like, I couldn't even finish an argument with them. It's like, well, how about the fact that 3/4 of the medical advances and patents come from the United States because you can profit from those things here? Or maybe the fact that there are lots of countries where medical is covered by the government, but you have to wait months for care. Or, one of my favorites, I will give in and give all medical everything over to the United States government if you can tell me one freaking thing that our government has ever done effectively and efficiently.
Yeah.
One. Just one.
Yeah, not much. I mean, none or very few. I would agree with you. And I would agree that, socialism, socialism is kind of a great theory, but put it into practice and entrepreneurs are no longer in charge. There's no longer a reason for us entrepreneurs to get up in the morning and create something. And here, the great part about it is we can create things that are great for people if you think of people first, right? That's always been what I've done is thought of. Not my bottom line, but how do I help people? And then if that bottom line comes, great. If it doesn't come, it's okay. So to me, this is just – but this is a great challenge. I am thrilled. I just got back from CPAC, And I have to say, I never met so many great people and patriots in my entire life than in, you know, at CPAC. It was amazing.
I really want to go, but I am just too stubborn to take off work and spend the money to travel and all that kind of stuff. One of these days I'll go, and maybe I can get a Liberty Lighthouse table someplace and interview folks.
Well, we'll get you a ticket next year. You come with us and be our guests. It really is great. You get to meet a lot of people who obviously care so much for the country. And, you know, the things that are going on and the fights that we're having, I've never seen anything quite like it. I just jumped into this. I was not very much of a political person. In fact, honestly, I supported 10, 15 years ago some of the Democrats. And I just had – they've gotten so far out there that there are no moderates anymore, very few. And they'll tell you they're moderate, and then they go vote. On the most part, they'll go vote for their party.
Oh, well, Joe Biden was supposed to be moderate. He was supposed to be – you know, the moderate candidate, and then he comes in here and does the most progressive things our country's ever seen. So I get that. You know, you mentioned CPAC, so I'm going to talk about MyPillow just for a second. Mike Lindell, he's got the big thing coming up where he's actually going to put the voting machines on trial. Gotta see it. Get the Frank Speech app on your phone so you can watch the trial of voter machines. And while you're thinking of getting the Frank Speech app, visit MyPillow.com or My Store. And My Store is where Mike Lindell has built a platform to allow American entrepreneurs to sell their goods on MyStore.com. So go to MyPillow.com or MyStore.com and use the code Lighthouse for some pretty hefty savings and a little kickback for yours truly to keep the Liberty Lighthouse on the air, because to be quite honest, all this equipment is expensive. Okay. So I opened the Tusk browser on my phone since we've been talking, and I went to the news page and I scrolled down to politics and opinion because that's what I do. And these are the story headlines. Now, for anybody listening to this in the podcast form or listening to it on Mojo 50 Radio on Saturday night or WBN 324 Saturday night or Patriot Nation Radio Network on Friday night, anybody listening to this, we are recording Thursday night. We are broadcasting a live stream Thursday night. It is 7:22 p.m. And the stories on here, the first ones that pop up are one day old. It says, you know, judge orders DOJ to respond to requests for Trump's raid. The Dr. Fauci and his wonderful pitching arm at the first pitch of the Nationals game the other day. You know, Colbert celebrating the FBI raid. These are the things that are there right now at this moment. I can now these are from Daily Wire, Breitbart, The Blaze, The Federalist and Newsmax are the ones that I see right on the top. That's cool. Most other news aggregator products, you go in and choose what topics you're interested in. You say, hey, I like sports, or I like politics, or whatever. You, in Tusk, you give us the option to choose the sources.
Yeah.
That's a different thing.
Yeah, we like the, once again, I like you to be able to choose what you want to read. And if it's conservative, we want to serve that up. We want to start with serving it up to you and then want you to go in and change whatever else you want in there. But we want the customer to decide about politically where they stand and jump on board, and then they can make the changes. But we've started out of the box with Breitbart, and I've got some stories about, you know, the censors coming along and saying, well, we don't want Breitbart. And it's like, well, it's not your browser. So... I'm sure this is going to get a lot worse. We're prepared for the onset of people that don't like us, and it's kind of too bad. I respect liberals. I don't necessarily agree with them. I love Americans. I love all Americans. I may not agree politically with you, but that's, we've been doing this for hundreds of years.
All right. Well, it's break time. We're going to be back in 2 minutes. Watch these lovely commercials. 2 minutes. We'll be right back here. And I want to tell you more about the Tusk browser and the search engines and all the cool things. There's a brand new way to support Liberty Lighthouse and get something great for yourself, too. And that's at MyPillow. MyPillow.com/Lighthouse. Use the promo code Lighthouse to get up to 66% off your MyPillow products. I've had the pillows for years. Got the towels about a year ago. Got the sheets and the quilt now, too. Yes, right, a quilt. Yes, quilts and duvets and everything else you could possibly need for your bed and sleeping. Check it out if you haven't been there in a while. MyPillow.com/Lighthouse. Use the promo code Lighthouse to get yourself up to 66% off. Do you like the idea of those really convenient meal delivery kits? Send you all the ingredients in a box like once a week, and you can just make really cool dinners, and you don't have to grocery shop and make lists and all that kind of stuff. But if you're like me, they're really expensive and they're kind of cost prohibitive and they're just not worth the money. Well, every plate is the answer. Every plate is $4.99 a portion. And if you go to liberty-lighthouse.com/everyplate, I'll get you dollars off. Just give it a try. Great food, nutritious, delicious, $4.99 a person. About half of what the other meal delivery kits cost. Can't recommend enough. liberty-lighthouse.com/everyplate.
Welcome back to the Liberty Lighthouse.
Yeah, welcome back to the Liberty Lighthouse with Jeff Berman tonight, talking about Tusk, the Tusk browser, and all the cool things that Tusk is going to do for us in the future. Before we get too far, and I forget, how would you like people to find Tusk? Where would you like to send the listeners of the Liberty Lighthouse to support you, to help you, to download your product, to do your stuff?
Thanks, Peter. So it's pretty easy. If you're on a desktop, then just type in tuskbrowser.com, and you'll come right to our site, and you'll have your pick of either PC or Mac. Download it. Hopefully, those get a little complicated. It's not like the phone. The phone is really simple. Even I can do the phone, which my son will tell you is amazing. So that would be the first thing. The second would be if you're on a mobile, well, then you'd go to either iOS, the Apple Store, or you'd go to Android and type in Tusk Browser and download it. It will take about 5 seconds. There's a short tutorial to show you how to do things. And by the way, for all you guys that want DuckDuckGo as a search engine, we're going to install that. I've asked to get that in place while we're working on our own search engine. We figure we'll let everybody use DuckDuckGo if that's what they want to use. So we're in the midst of this. Come and join us. We had 7,000 downloads today.
Awesome.
So we are in a march. We would love for this. The only way we can defeat the other side, or at least keep even with them, is we got to have a large crowd. We've got to fight for this. No, I'm on conservative side. I've had enough. This whole thing started with me watching Mark Levin one night and thinking to myself, oh my God, where are we going as a country? Maybe I can do something. And that's when I jumped in and decided to write a big check. Which I think my wife's probably squawking about to build Tusk Browser.
Well, I much the same. I wasn't involved in politics for many years. I feel guilty about that. I should have paid a lot more of attention. And yeah. Then some things happened. It was the abortion laws in New York and Virginia, where they allowed abortion right up to the moment of birth, that made me go, oh, that's just silly. No, that's not right. So that got me saying, I have to do something. Well, I don't have a big checkbook. I can't write a big fat check to somebody. So the first thing I did was write this little book called Progress Really. And this was me looking back at social progress during my own lifetime. Like, how the example I usually give in conversation is the Boy Scouts. You know, when I was a scout, that was right about the time that the Boy Scouts was debating and talking about whether or not openly gay scouts and scoutmasters should be allowed in the Boy Scouts. And then if you skip over 30 years, now they've dropped boy from their name, and you know, they hand out condoms at camp. Like, it's completely different organization. So that's what that first book was. Then I started this show. And then right about a year ago, I took a lot of the ideas that I've had from guests and, you know, my own ideas and ideas that have come from the guests of the Liberty Lighthouse. And I wrote a second book called So Simple Even a Politician Can Understand. And it's about a dozen or so ideas that have come from the show that are really, really simple ideas that would go a really long way to fixing some seriously complex problems. And even in the year since I published that, I probably got another dozen ideas. So eventually I'll probably come out with, you know, So Simple Even a Politician Can Still Understand, and it'll be a new version with a dozen more ideas in it. So I get it. Not involved, not paying attention, and then just feel this calling that you have to do something.
Yeah, that's me. I mean, I was minding my own business. In fact, the last thing we started to talk about, that Cocoon My Data Rewards. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was, I got so annoyed that I know what's going on. Obviously, big tech making a fortune off of our data. And that's fine. I mean, it's kind of a trade-off of you getting free, and it's not free because you're the product. Right. But I thought, well, why not? Let's see how the math works out. And I did a little math, and it seemed like it was working out okay. Where the user got 70% of the money that came, and it's very small. So a Google will do $100 a year on a person. And if you think about that over a year at a time, that's, you know, $7-$8 a month. It's not a lot of money, and it's not, you know, it's not as great as you think it would be. And maybe you're worth a little bit more. So we kind of pitter patter around with that. I think we have more exciting stuff coming in that, because I really believe that if you want to make money from your own data, you should. It belongs to you. In my mind, it's not my data. It belongs to you.
I was wondering if that was going to be somehow, that concept was somehow going to be rolled into Tusk as well. Like, if there would be an opt-in feature.
There might be. Yeah. And I don't know if people would like that because of the privacy. But I tell you, if you want to be private with us, we will do our absolute best to keep you as private as, I mean, because I started with a private browser. I'm not saying that you don't give IP addresses away. You know, I'm telling you, if DuckDuckGo is telling you, they never give your IP address away, you need to dig deeper into their into their privacy policies. If they even tell you, I know the tricks of the trade of what they do. They say, well, we don't collect anything. They don't talk about anybody else.
Right. They don't stop anybody else from doing it. They, you know, their browser might not do the collecting, but the sites that you visit do.
Exactly. And there's no way around it. I mean, it's just, it's like you go, you know, you go to a store, same thing. They recognize you and you come in the door or probably. But So
my first question to you was about the, you know, can we, you know, how aren't we afraid that we're going to create that right side echo chamber? So I went in on the Tusk browser on my phone. I went into preferences and I went to the news sources, and you've got ABC News, American Thinker, AP, BBC, Bon Appetit, Dan Bongino, Breitbart, BuzzFeed. I mean, you've got the whole gamut here. It's left, right, and I haven't seen any center, but that's only because there's only like one or two in the world. you've got the gamut available.
Yeah, and freedom of speech.
Yeah, and as a user, it's just a toggle switch of yes or no, I do or don't want to see this stuff. So,
yeah, we're serious about freedom of speech, and we're serious about when the left comes to take us down. My question is going to be to the left. You have freedom of speech. You want to change this. Just like I can come to Chrome and change theirs, you can come in and change mine. And in our news feed, on our search, you know, we'll give you that search if that's what you really want. But what's dominated is the left. And I think it's, I mean, you know, I come from competition. I think it's unfair. And, you know, I think we should do something about it.
Okay. So let's move on to the search engine. Any idea how long ETA of when we might actually see a search engine for the Tusk browser?
You'll see the first phase, I think, within 6 weeks. And I don't want to get too excited, like I'm able to change the search so that we get all conservative news. That's not going to happen to start. It's going to take some time for us to build that. So we'll get it started. There'll be a phase one where we'll overlay conservative news as much as possible. When you dig into the search, you're probably not going to get the conservative stuff like you like. And then I'm hoping it's a year. It's 18 months to a year. I'm already in talks with some people to build it. And we just need to make sure we have the financials in place. If there's any investors that would like to come on board, we'd be happy to have them come and see what we're doing and see. I think it's a great financial model. I'm a business guy. I've been in business for 35 years, and it's a good business model. So it's not something to be afraid of. And it's something that's really needed.
Okay.
And we need our own. We're being drowned.
I absolutely agree. Like I said, anytime I try to do research for a show or for one of my Liberty Minutes or something I'm writing, sometimes it's really hard to find things that I know are there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the powers that be don't want me to find it. They don't want it to be easily accessible.
And so you've made it 10 times harder for me, because now I have to think about conservative writers versus liberal writers. I hadn't thought of that yet. Oh my God, you're making my life harder, Peter.
Well, you can always link to liberty-lighthouse.com anytime you want.
You might find me over a lot at your place, not at my place. That's all I can say.
With the search engine, like supposedly, now we all know this isn't necessarily the truth, but supposedly when you go to Google or DuckDuckGo or Yahoo or whatever, you go to a search engine and you type whatever it is that you're typing, the results that are given to you are supposed to be ranked based on how much they're, or how often they're visited and how accurately or how closely they match your search. So what happens when you're building a right-leaning or conservative-leaning search engine, but somebody searches for something? Let's use January 6th earlier as example. You search for January 6th, and the most visited website is the CNN coverage.
You don't do it by ranking.
You know,
if you go to the doctor and you say, "Doctor, my arm hurts when I do this," you know, he says, don't do that.
Right.
I say the same thing, which is we're not going to deliver it by the most popular ranked. We're going to deliver it probably by, call it the most conservative to start. And so when you type in January 6th, things will come up, will be from the right side, which is, you know, whatever the right's thinking about it, the Daily Wire, Fox News, whatever that is, that's what's going to come up. So and what Google and these guys will tell you, well, that's the way they make their most amount of money, by the rankings behind and so on and so forth. That's not something that I'm totally focused on. I'm more focused on my user getting what they want, getting the search results. So you don't have to go to page 12. To find something about January 6th.
Okay. That's good. But I mean, you have to have some way of sorting it though. I mean, I understand the most visited as a ranking method. I also understand why it turns out the way it does, but you have to have some kind of way of listing. You can't just say list them in alphabetical order.
No. And you can't really depend on, I mean, look, the left-leaning guys, they're going to tell you all day long it's backlinks, but a lot of it's censorship. I mean, come on, we're not that dumb to know that they're censoring us. They don't want us to see stuff that may be important. I mean, a perfect example, why do you build the search engine? And I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but the reason I would build it is because, the Biden story, a perfect example, the laptop. That was stressed by the news. That was called disinformation. When we all knew that was not disinformation. I mean, you didn't have to be a scientist to figure that out, that was probably for real. I mean, look at look what they've done. They've come up with the Trump story, you know, that he the Russian information, and then it's the Biden, and it's, I mean, it's just one nonsense after another. And so they're moving elections by doing this, though. I mean, absolutely. We don't realize that if you can't find the Biden story, that's the reason why I want to get this built before the next election. So this doesn't happen to conservatives where they can't find the story. Absolutely. Now, it will be less prevalent because now
18 months later, you've got like Brian Stelzer finally starting to show a crack in his armor, saying that, well, you know, it's not just a right wing conspiracy. It really is a story we've got to deal with.
Yeah.
18 months too late.
But yeah, too late. I mean, the election was already, you know, I mean, the election already happened. Biden was, maybe Biden wouldn't have been elected if people knew what went on with the Biden laptop. And we still don't, you know, look, they go after Trump at Mar-a-Lago, and we haven't heard a word for 2 years, about Biden's laptop.
Yeah.
So censoring is a big deal to me.
It is, and it should be. And I was, for quite a while, I was of the mindset, private companies can do what they want. And if they want to censor you, tough crap, go, don't use their product, go someplace else. However, that went away in my own mind. The moment that the White House admitted to pointing out to the social media companies, hey, this is what's misinformation. This site or this post here is problematic. This user said something you need to worry about.
Yeah.
The moment that anybody in government starts doing that, it's no longer free enterprise. It's no longer the business making the decision. And that is clearly and obviously a violation of the First Amendment. You know, First Amendment says government shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. So when Twitter does it, oh, well, Twitter sucks. Don't use Twitter. But when Twitter does it because the government told them to, that's a workaround. That's the federal government clearly ignoring the U.S. Constitution and saying, we want you to do this for us because we're not allowed to do it ourselves.
Yes, it's horrible. I mean, the reason why I'm building what I'm building is because you can't trust them. You can't trust, unfortunately, the left and the government, as you purportedly, and I believe you're right, it's in cahoots with the left. And so when people go, oh, there'll be this breakup and there'll be monopoly and all be broken up. No, it won't. It won't be broken up because people that are inside the government like it this way. And, you know, I'm prepared to do battle if necessary with the, hopefully not with the government, but with, you know, Google and all the rest. And here's a little dirty little secret. So I want your friends, for your listeners to not know this. So in my real estate career, I built a couple of projects and, guess who showed up and is my tenant? Google. Just kind of funny.
That is
kind of, and they're great people. We just have a difference of opinion. Now, the problem with the difference of opinion, in the old days, it was the Democrats, Republicans, and, you know, you could have these fights and it was fine. But now the issue, I think, is we're fighting sort of this Marxism, they've hidden, you know, they're trying to hide it as much as they possibly can. But they're trying to figure out how do we, and they're doing a great job of getting our kids to think that we should be socialists and we should be Marxists. And that makes a lot of sense to me.
Right. I don't know how they did it. Actually, I do know how they did it. When I was really young and I was in, you know, social studies classes, I remember thinking socialism sounds brilliant if you could get rid of the corruption. Like if you could eliminate the corrupt soul of mankind, then socialism sounds like a great idea. Of course, it took me a few years and I grew up and I grew out of that, realizing that when everybody makes the same thing, all incentive to ever do anything is gone. To be better is gone. To be a good employee is gone. Like all incentives go away when everybody's getting exactly the same thing.
Yeah, the equality numbs you to the, you know, to being extraordinary, to being an entrepreneur. And look, almost all the great, a lot of the great inventions have come from entrepreneurs. I mean, just, you know, they're billionaires, no less. I mean, back in when I started as an entrepreneur, you're lucky if you could make $1 million. Now they make billions of dollars. And great for them. Listen, that's what makes capitalism wonderful. You just want to see them to use it in the right way. Mark Zuckerberg going off and spending $430 million to do something to an election. To me, we have no business being in the midst of people's elections, right? And by the way, I sat across, this is kind of interesting. I sat across the way from Mike Lindell at the CPAC the other night, literally. He was like right across the table from me. What an interesting character.
Well, I got a phone from Mike Lindell's team the other day saying, hey, you know, we're about the Save America thing that he's doing. And I want to see if you're going to be there. And I'm like, I'd love to be there, but I can't just drop work and go. And, you know, I need more advance notice. I save the money for the trip and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I was honored when the Mike Lindell team reached out to me and said, hey, would you like a promo code for MyPillow? And I'm like, of course I would. Why? That's a stupid question. But yeah, I want to go to CPAC. It sounds like
I can't wait to hear this. He told me, and I don't know if I should say this publicly, like $30 million. I mean, just a ton of money trying to figure out how this election went so haywire when Trump ended up with, I don't know, 70 million more voters than ever. And he loses to a guy who's been hiding in his basement for the whole election year. How does that make any sense?
It doesn't. I'm going to put something up on the screen. This is what we need to teach again. This is equity equals America. I'm sorry, equality equals America. Equity equals communism. Learn the difference. This is something that we don't teach in school anymore. We aren't teaching the difference between equity and equality. We're not teaching the things that we need to our kids. And they're coming out of school with this idea that you know, everybody should have exactly the same stuff. Like, it's not fair that Johnny has three pencils and Susie only has two. Johnny should have to give up a pencil. Like, no, that's not how the world works. And life is not fair. It never is going to be fair. And trying to force fairness is unfair to someone else.
Yeah, I think what you're going to find, here's my take. We do have to work on the schools. I mean, the schools are the start. This is a no-brainer that we've got to get better teachers in there that understand the Constitution and want the idea of you know, helping people strive to be better people and, you know, being entrepreneurs and so on and so forth. But what I'm finding with my children, because they're now in their early 30s, is when they start paying their tax bills, and they start them to go work hard and they want to make advancements, they're beginning to get that socialism is not going to be their answer because everybody is equal. And so how do you get ahead? Well, one of my kids, I'm very proud to say, works for one of the car companies, and he's in electric cars, and he could have gotten laid off, but he's done such a good job that they kept his job and they kept him around because he was doing such a good job. Not because it was just like, well, you know, we need one more boy or we need one more girl or we need, you know, transgender. You should be on your merits of who you are, not anything else.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, I've been a taxpaying worker since I was 14 years old. I got my first paycheck type job at 14. And I had to work permit from the state because I was so young and I could only do it for the summer and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But I've never been unemployed since. But from that moment, the minute I started working, I quickly realized I wanted my boss, my company, to make as much money as possible because that was the only way I was ever going to get a raise.
Yeah.
And the idea that, oh, you know, Elon Musk is a horrible billionaire. Well, he's a billionaire in large part because you buy his products. Oh, right. Jeff Bezos is evil. He's got all that money. He has that money because you use Amazon.
Right.
He provided something you wanted and he got rich doing it. Why is that evil?
Yeah, it just it's greed, not greed on the part of Bezos or anybody else. It's the envy. The envious all the time I see it, you know, that people are envious of other people and that's part of the way communists kind of control people is like, well, nobody's any better than anybody else. But, and it's not, as a human being, we all have that ability to rise above, but some people have some great talents building stuff. And why shouldn't they be compensated?
I agree. We've gotten really off topic of your product and what you're doing. I'm enjoying the conversation.
Oh, I'm enjoying this. This is great. And the product, I'm just hoping for this to be a great product for people and bring some sanity back to the web. And not that there was sanity. There probably wasn't. At one time there was sanity, but with Twitter and all these things that have come at you that are censoring. Now I'll say the right's done a little bit of a good job on, you know, on newspapers and stuff, but still search and browsing, you know, it doesn't exist until we came along.
Well, I have to admit, I just installed your browser on my phone. A day or two ago. I just installed it on my laptop tonight. I haven't done anything with it on my computer yet. On my phone, I haven't done much. I went to my own website just to see if it loaded properly, and it did. And I played around with the news feed, the news aggregator. I do a news headline review every morning, 5 days a week. So I've got five different news apps on my phone, some of which are aggregator apps. So I'm always looking at the news to find out what I'm going to talk about tomorrow or early in the morning. So that was where my focus immediately went was, hey, maybe I can use this and get rid of all these other ones that are on here. I'm really excited about the idea of a search engine and I'm glad that you say that, you know, at least the first version will be out. You said 6 weeks, but not.
I think 4 to 6 weeks. I'm waiting for, I've seen the test of it. And so far so good. We need to do some layering. I have a conversation this next week, layer some conservative news on it, but I want everybody to be aware of this. This is going to take time to build. It's going to be a year or so. Right now we have a partnership with Yahoo and we love them, but they're not conservative. No. And I can go beat them over the head. They're not going to change. And the only way we can do this is get our own group of people and say, let's build our own. And you know, this is what it takes. It takes people to back me to go do what I want to do. And you know, we'll figure it out. I'll spend as many hours and as many work days as possible to bring you a really good search engine.
Well, anything worth having. It takes time to build. And that's true with basically everything in life. So yeah. I'm really thrilled that you're not just throwing something together to put out there that, the left side is just going to tear apart in a day.
This is going to be built from the ground up. And the vision is to change so that if you want to, you know, you want to see something that's from the right, you're not just going through pages and pages and pages to find it.
And the Liberty Lighthouse number one fan producer emeritus has just downloaded the Tusk app to her phone. Sarah Nichols, the one person I can always rely on being in the chat, it has just downloaded it. So thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate it. And any feedback would be wonderful. This is a new, obviously a new thing, and we're working on it. I've got a few more surprises coming in the next 3 to 4 months. But one of the things we will be doing is I'm hopefully get a tell a friend on there, because one of the things, I mean, wouldn't that make sense? We had 7,000 downloads today, but wouldn't it make sense for you to be able to tell your friend, hey, well, there's a conservative browser out there, download it.
Oh, well, I'm going to tell my friends. Our guest tonight was Jeff Vermant. Thank you very much for coming to Liberty Lighthouse tonight, Jeff. It was a pleasure to have you. Until next week, protect your liberties. Once they're gone, there's no getting them back. God bless America.